This is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Good morning, sports fans. It is a pleasure to have you here for the big Monday show on Locks of the Week Radio. I'm Dave Medina, and the final score is in. The NBA championship is decided, and the Lakers have won it. 99-86. Oh, yeah! The Lakers are the 2009 NBA champions. It never gets old. You know, all the times that you see them win it all, and you see them win the championship. This one feels better than all the other ones I've seen so far. And I've seen, you know, as an adult, I've seen four. And the first three were awesome. But this one really feels like it matters. I mean, this one really felt special. I mean, you could see the emotion stem out of the Lakers. It's just a great feeling. What a day. Look at Kobe right now. I mean, I'm watching him on the TV. I mean, it's like... Mauricio!
Hello?
What's up?
Oh my god. That's it. We're bringing it home.
Yeah, man!
We are bringing it home.
We're bringing it home!
Oh, man. I shed a tear, son.
I shouted something. I shouted... I just shouted. I didn't... No tear. I thought I'd be a tear, but no tear. But hey, I'm still really, really happy. What a day. What a day. Oh.
Good day.
Oh, man. Bricio, I can't believe it!
Hey, that's your magic in five. Magic in five. I think you meant to say magic lose in five games.
Oh, man, I'm going to get that pretty hard all night long. Jake said the same thing to me in the text. It's like, hey, didn't you say magic in five? I'm like, well, I got the five right.
Oh. Got it, brother.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, what can you say? What can you say, right?
Hey, you're left speechless. After something like that, after a tremendous, you know, bounce back, being down 9 points, they're, you know, leaving with nothing else other than the big W and the championship, you can't say anything else.
There's nothing left to say. The results speak for themselves.
There's literally nothing else to say.
Man. You want to go to the parade, dude? You want to go to the parade?
Thinking about it, man.
I know, man. It's going to be intense. Intense.
What is it? Do you know?
Huh?
When is it?
It's probably going to be Tuesday, but I'm not sure.
I'm thinking about it, man. Oh, God.
Or at least, like, stay home and watch it on TV, you know? Like see it on Channel 9 or something.
Well, here, Dave, let me give you a call back because I want to watch the ceremony.
Okay, man. Sounds good.
Later.
I mean, we're pretty fresh off of the championship. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable! They're going to do the trophy presentation. Going to have to watch this. Going to have to watch this. They're going to do it out in the court this year. So let's see what happens here. All right, they're starting to announce the trophy. Stuart Scott from ESPN is going to present it. David Stern's congratulating Orlando for doing a good job winning the Eastern Conference. Oh, man. I'm right here.
great fans of Los Angeles.
They're presenting the trophy. Now it looks like they gave it to Jim Buss first, or Joe. He's accepting on behalf of Jerry Buss.
What does this one mean to the family?
This one means a lot. The fans stuck with us.
Joey Buss is the guy.
This is the 15th one that we have as a family. We have two more to go to meet Boston Celtics. And I just want to reiterate that none of this would be possible without the Los Angeles Lakers fans here tonight and back in Los Angeles. So now it's time to bring this trophy back to Los Angeles and hang up another banner.
Well, he did a valiant attempt, but he's no Jerry. No, sir. All right, now they're gonna move on to Phil Jackson, the coach of the Lakers. All right, so here's Stuart Scott. Scott.
Coach now than any man ever. When the clock went to triple zeros, what's the first thought that ran through your mind?
It's surreal to watch this thing count down, see these guys out on the floor carry the day. They did such a good job in the second half, from actually the middle of the second quarter, carrying this game home. It's all about them.
How did you coach this team differently than the first three times you won the championship with the Lakers?
Well, that team had to learn. This team has been a learned team, their experience.
You once described your relationship with the late, great Red Auerbach as competitive. You've now passed him on the list of all-time championships for a coach with 10. What does that achievement mean to you?
I'll smoke a cigar tonight in memory of Red. He was a great guy. I'll smoke a cigar in memory of him.
I see the hat with the Roman numeral 10 on top of your head.
Thank you.
What's that mean to kids? From your kids?
Yeah, my kids made this up, so here's to them. My family really gave me great support. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Coach Phil Jackson. Again, congratulations.
Oh, my. So what they're explaining right now is that what happened they gave there's a hat on Phil Jackson's head that says X for 10 for the 10 championships he's won. Okay, here we go. Bill Russell's about to present the NBA Finals MVP award, now named in his honor.
The MVP trophy.
Chance for Kobe from the crowd.
And the MVP of the 2009 NBA Finals, who averaged 32 points plus, who averaged almost 6 rebounds and 7 assists a game, Kobe Bryant.
A number of Laker fans here in the audience tonight in Orlando. And here's Stuart Scott.
You go back to a year ago this time, the Boston Celtics beat you all. What was your focus from that moment to this moment?
Well, we knew we had to become a better defensive team consistently. Better defensively, better on the boards. And that series last year taught us. And we came back this year with a renewed focus.
Everybody, critics, fans, the media, we've all speculated why this title means something different than the other three. We don't want to speculate anymore. Why?
Well, just for the challenge of it. I mean, it's so tough, you know, to win championship. They have to start over from scratch. I mean, we started over from scratch, and, you know, here we are again, and this really feels like a dream. I mean, it doesn't even feel real right now. It's unbelievable.
With a minute 12 left, you guys were up by 11. We saw you on the bench during a timeout, and you were gnawing on your fingernails. What were you thinking then?
I just couldn't wait for the clock to go down. You know, I was just waiting and waiting and waiting for the time to expire so we can, so this moment can finally be here.
During this whole finals, really during the whole playoff run, we've seen you at press conferences with very short clip answers. You've had a scowl on your face. What does winning this mean for you right now?
You know, it means everything. I mean, we really work so hard as a group. You know, we sacrifice so much. We put in so much time, so much effort, and, you know, it just feels unbelievable to get here with a group of guys that are like brothers to me, and, you know, we can all enjoy this together.
How are you different as a man and a player than you were 7 years ago, the last time you won a championship?
I think you just get better. You just grow as a person. You grow as a man, and, you know, you just try to figure out the best way to lead these guys.
I see you with your family. How are you guys going to celebrate tonight?
Well, we'll probably let them have soda. And we can, you know, spill some champagne around a little bit.
Just a little bit. Congratulations, Kobe Bryant. And congratulations to the Los Angeles Lakers. Kobe Bryant's fourth NBA championship. The Lakers' 15th NBA championship as a franchise. Second all-time in NBA history. Let's throw it now back to Mike Breen. Mike?
Well, there it is. That's the presentation of the NBA Finals Championship Trophy, the Larry O'Brien Trophy, and the MVP Trophy given to Kobe Bryant. What a beautiful scene that is. And they're showing on ABC right now the clip of Kobe walking off the court after the previous year's disappointment in Boston. And then they switched over to Kobe Bryant winning it all for the LA Lakers in 2009. I mean, you look at this, it's just... If you're at all a fan of the Lakers, or of Kobe, generally you won't be a fan of just Kobe. Usually you're going to have to be... You're a fan of them both. But if you're a fan of either... You look into this, you really start to... It really starts to touch you, these moments, and all that Kobe's been through. All that the entire team's been through, everything. Yeah, I mean, you look through it all. I mean, you look through every single thing that they've had to put up with over the years. The feud with Shaq, the breakup, the rebuilding process, the lousy 2006 season. Wait, 2005 season, sorry. 2006 and 7, going up 3-1 against the Phoenix Suns. And, you know, a lot of the guys on the team now were on the team then, back in 06. Guys like Farmer maybe not so much. But they had Sasha on the team, who didn't do much this season. You had Luke Walton on that team, Odom, certainly. You had a lot of guys who had served their time. And I think Bynum's part of that group. Kobe, Bynum, Odom, and... Luke Walton, all part of that team back in those days when they weren't the greatest team in the Western Conference. And they stuck it out. They stuck it together, and so did Mitch Kupchak, for that matter. When you look at a guy that's assembled all these pieces together, relying on the youth and the drafting to get them through this, to this championship, to the summit. This is a man who got criticized loudly all over Southern California and from coast to coast. It's really quite startling, number one, for the Buss family, how they just stuck with it, and two, for Mitch Kupchak to not lose his marbles and just give in to the media pressure to do something else drastic. And you know, you're looking at it, ABC's about to sign off right now. I was kind of hoping that they'd go back to do some sign-offs or something. They may not, but I tell you, it's been quite a run for everybody concerned. Oh jeez. I mean, but anyway, yeah, you know, you had that going on. And then you had the rape allegations for Kobe Bryant. And you've had... Everybody's got their own demons. You know, Lamar Odom, oh, he can't win the big one. You know? There's a lot of that going on. And then over the years, new pieces were added. Oh, no, they're going back to the guys. I'm sorry. Let's hear what these guys have to say. Let's listen to the ABC crew here and hear what they have. This is Mark Jackson talking.
Responded, and now that it's just again, Kobe Bryant, we reestablished himself. And you see the locker room, the celebration beginning. Winning the championship early with Shaquille O'Neal, he said it wasn't a big deal, but this was his team, and he led them to a title.
Well, he did, and I think...
Jeff Van Gundy.
The Lakers' greatness, it takes a balanced team, and they got that with Pau Gasol. I think this... Every championship you win elevates your greatness, but I didn't think he needed this championship to be considered one of the all-time greats.
And you could say the same thing for Phil Jackson in terms of it. I mean, he's one of the great coaches of all time. This gives him number 10. And there's always talk about, well, he's had the best player. He's had Michael Jordan, and he's had Kobe Bryant. But it's more than just that. Every coach seems to have the best player. He's an unbelievable coach.
Well, he is. I mean... What are you going to say? He's had three of the all-time greatest players, top 10 players, Jordan, O'Neal, and Bryant, and yet your charge as a coach is to maximize the talent you've been given, and he's done that.
DeMarc, the key for a coach is getting everybody on the same page and being a unit, and he has done that.
Well, he's done that, and that's something that Kobe Bryant talked about, his ability to unite a group. He's done an outstanding job with that, and this was a Magic team that was a matchup problem for a lot of teams. Give them credit for the strategy, the discipline, the game plan to take away the Magic strength.
Great season, guys. A pleasure as always. Look forward to next year.
Thank you.
Don't go into coaching on me, please. So that'll do it from Orlando.
And now ABC signs off and ESPN in by association. Good final thoughts there by the NBA on ESPN crew. Mike Breen, the play-by-play man, Jeff Van Gundy, the coach and analyst, and Mark Jackson, the former player and other analyst. And as I've mentioned in the past, all three of them are big Knicks guys. They've either played, coached, or broadcasted for the Knicks, so they are clearly loyal to that organization and to the city of New York. And to hear them shower praise on the Lakers franchise and on Kobe Bryant, that's a lot of class, and I got to give them a lot of credit for that. And I've always felt the whole time, all along, I felt that they were very, very good broadcasters. And so as the ESPN sets its final montage of the Lakers season, as you see the images of the season gone by for the Los Angeles Lakers and their championship run, we start to think about what has happened here in this season, in the NBA. What a year. Oh. And you're hearing Mike Breen now.
Derek Fisher will not make an All-Star team or get into the Hall of Fame, but this classy veteran will always be a champion on and off the court. Lamar Odom, the most popular player in the Laker locker room, who's endured so many ups and downs in his basketball life, gets to stand on top of the NBA mountain.
This is really good.
What a season it's been for the Los Angeles Lakers, the 2009 NBA champions.
Well, that's it for the ESPN's coverage on ABC. I tell you, that I was thinking that, you know, the ESPN on ABC was going to really cut this post-game coverage short, but they really didn't. They did a good job. They did keep it short and concise. And at the same time, they pretty much did everything they needed to do. I mean, they didn't have the long montage like NBC used to do. But that little thing at the end that Mike Breen did was really well done. And I don't suppose he wrote it, but he did a really good job. The Lakers, again, I mean, you're looking at just a fantastic run. And this one is just as sweet, probably sweeter than many of the other ones that we've been involved. By the way, Stuart Scott's over on ESPN, the network, doing the highlights now. So as quickly as he presented the trophy, he's back at the studio desk taking care of business there. reviewing and recapping that game. So this is, you're listening to Dave in the City on Locks of the Week Radio, special NBA Finals post-game edition of this podcast, wherein we cover the Lakers' ride to the 2009 NBA Championship and how sweet it is for those of you who are fans of the Lakers and even those who respect their run and their glory. Not everyone does. In fact, a lot of people don't. But for those of you who are on this side of the bandwagon, this is our day. And, you know, I spent the final minute of the game with my dad on the phone. And what we did is we just watched it together. And I told him, I said, as the seconds were ticking down towards the end, I said, you know, I want to yell, but I have nothing. I'm probably not going to do that. And then, just like that, when the game ended, you saw Kobe jumping around and Gasol and Bynum and Odom and Fisher and I hope I didn't leave anybody out. Luke Walton, everybody just jumping over around into a big huddle, and I yelled, "Oh yeah!" That's what I yelled at after the end of the championship. My reactions have always been different every year to a Lakers title, and I've been so fortunate, so wonderful, so happy. And you know, I've been really just lucky, I think, and just privileged to be a fan of this franchise. You know, no, most fans of teams don't have it this good. You know, I don't have it this good with the LA Dodgers. No way. And even with the, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers, okay, they're one of the all-time winningest Super Bowl teams. I get that, but they certainly didn't look like they were going to continue that kind of a run, you know, when I started rooting for them. So, you know, it's not always, you're not going to expect to win a championship every year. So when it happens, you got to really appreciate what you're seeing, and I certainly do tonight. It's just a beautiful, beautiful day all the way through. Now I want to hear from some of my friends here. We will start today with, we heard from Bricio a few minutes ago. Now we are going to look into talking to our friend Jacob, who's, I'm sure, just a castic over the whole thing. Dialing him up now, you'll see what happens. Yeah, the guy is just flat out partying right now. There's no question about it. Jacob, this is Dave from Dave in the City. I want to thank you for trusting in that Lakers team the whole way through. You know, I have to be honest with you. I certainly was not in that same camp. All right. Jake! Dude!
What's going on, brother?
Hey, man. I'm a little worn out, but I'm happy right now. I gotta say... Oh.
Hey, so it's too bad the Magic won in five. I guess you're right, man.
Yeah, I saw that coming.
Yeah, well, you were right though. The series was going to be over in five games.
Yeah, I got the five right.
That much you were correct about. I don't know if I'd be bragging about that or anything, but you know, you were correct, sir. Good for you. Do you want to owe you a Garrett's for it?
No. Forget the Garrett's right now. Let's not worry about that right now. It's not important.
Now, how about we talk about that other Garrett's that we got going?
What's the... Oh, the Giants one?
Oh, yeah.
Now, let's talk about that. No. Let's talk about that later. This is the Lakers night. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
I'm just kidding with you, man. Relax.
All right.
I'm fucking excited. You're excited. We're both excited. We should be excited. Right.
Oh, God, yes. Ah, jeez. I mean, you know, I'm so excited that, like Kobe, at the end of the game, I yelled out pretty loud. I yelled, "Oh, yeah!" Like that. What did you do after the game was over?
You know, the thing is the Lakers played really well today. You gotta give Orlando credit, the fact that they hung in there and they kept fighting all the way to the end. But they weren't gonna beat the Lakers today. I had a feeling that the Lakers would win today and that they would close out the series. And, you know, when they went down early, you kind of felt like, okay, the Lakers are going to come back and win this game. I mean, that was a feeling that I had. I don't know if you had that feeling. Because it felt like that kind of a game for the Lakers today. Kobe was just ridiculous. He was just fucking ridiculous today. There was just a couple plays where you're just like, there's nobody else who can do that except Kobe. And he was just that kind of player today. Ariza stepped up. Odom had a decent game. You know, Bynum had a decent first half, so you got to give him credit, right?
Yep.
Everybody pitched in today, and that's just, they played their best basketball in the last, you know, at the end of the Denver series and this entire series, so you got to give them credit. Because they just did not look good in the Houston series. Agreed?
I agreed. It's been a long, long trip for the L.A. Lakers, and you know, man, I mean, you talk about comparing today to about this kind of day a year ago. It's night and day. I mean, it's a completely different end of the spectrum. I mean, I really feel like awesome today. I mean, don't you think?
You know, it's just one of those things where the best team usually comes out and closes the series out.
Yeah.
That's the reality of it. You know, game six last year, yeah, you thought LA could probably pull it out and turn into a game seven, and Boston would probably win game seven in Boston. But generally speaking, the better team steps in and just takes over. And it's usually not pretty. You know, we've seen this happen a few times. It tends to happen that way. You know, usually the closeout game, if it's five or six, it's not exactly a good game to watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless you're the fan of the team that's winning.
Yeah, usually, yeah. That's true. A lot of times.
For that matter.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean
how often do we see a closeout five or six go pretty deep? You know, like end up being really good. It just doesn't happen. It was fun, man. I mean, it's good to see, you know, Kobe can relax now. You know, everybody can calm down. We can have a legitimate conversation on how good Kobe really is, as opposed to just haters just saying. And I hate, you know how much I hate the term haters, but in reality, it's just a bunch of people who don't like the Lakers and don't like Kobe. There's no way to really break it down any other way. They're biased. I walked into a bar the other day on Friday, and I heard two people talking about how, the sports center was on or whatever, and they were saying, oh, you know, Kobe's so overrated, he's so overrated, he's not that good, yada, yada, yada. And I'm sitting there just going like, I get you may not like the guy. I get that you may not think that he's Michael Jordan. I'm not arguing that, but if you think the guy's overrated or that he's not good, that, you know, he's just a mediocre player who's just, you know, got, you know, a few, you know, moderately better talents, you're stupid. And that's your typical NorCal fan hating on SoCal people. And I don't want to get into that, but my point is now it's just kind of like you got to respect the guy now a lot more. I know you said earlier, like, he's got nothing to prove. What does he have to prove? He's got three championships, and now that he had a lot to prove this series.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious now that we've seen his reaction after winning it all. He definitely had a lot to prove, and he certainly felt it, and it all came out at once. I mean, man, the guy just transformed into being like a different guy. Like, now he's back to being the old Kobe again, all happy and everything. It's beautiful.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I saw a picture of him the other day. They were showing some old stuff, like some article. I don't know what the hell article it was. And they showed him with some of the old championships with Shaq, and he had the little fro, you know.
Yeah.
You remember the little Kobe fro?
Yeah.
And it was just, he looked happy. He looked like a much I don't know, just something about him back then, like, you felt a little bit more closer to the guy, I guess, you know? So it was good to see that, like, to see Kobe in that kind of realm when we haven't seen that from him in a long time. He's been so, I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, I know that it's just such an overrated thing to talk about how determined he is and how much he wants this and yada, 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 but he was very much, well, he was Kobe. He was Kobe, just being Kobe, and he wasn't the nicest guy to see around. But at the same time, like, he's turned into a great team player, which is what we've asked of him for the past, you know, Jesus, six years, you know? He's turned into a great team player. You know, his other teammates. I know it's funny, you see a lot of outsiders, like, you know, especially Boston. Like, I hear Bill Simmons say it all the time, like, oh, it just seems so contrived, and, like, they're trying to like him, and they try. It's like, you know, you're only saying that because you're a Boston Celtics fan. And you don't like the Lakers, and you don't like Kobe. In reality, like, this is a huge leap from what he used to be, where he was pretty much a loner and nobody liked him. The fact that he actually made a friend in Carmelo Anthony and they consider themselves friends over in the Olympics shows that, like, the guy's come around and he's grown up, not just as a basketball player, but as a person, you know? He's matured a lot, and it's translated onto the basketball court, just the fact the way he plays. Sure, at times he's got to take over games when he shouldn't. Sure, he should trust his teammates sometimes, but most of the time he plays the game the way it should. And because he has an immense amount of talent, and he also has a couple of guys who can get it done for him around him, he's deserved and won a championship.
Yeah, I mean, and the Lakers totally deserve it. I mean, Mitch Kupchak. By the way, did you see that trophy presentation? They didn't give it to Jerry. I guess Jerry, maybe he's either, I don't know what his story is, but he couldn't make the trip apparently to Orlando, so.
Yeah, you know, I just might be in L.A. just hanging out or something.
I think that's it, too. I think he's just kind of hanging out in L.A., just decided not to make the trip. So his son,
yeah,
Joey.
I wouldn't read too much into it.
All right, well, I just want to make sure. I mean, like, I thought, you know, maybe he's not sick or anything. You just want to make sure, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand. But I wouldn't read a whole lot into it just because it's, you know, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, Jerry Buss is pretty old anyway. I mean, we don't realize how old he is.
Man. I mean, who knows? He could be sick. There could be something wrong with him. But if he is, it's like, well, that's what old people do.
Yeah. Nah, you're probably right. And
you know, I mean, he's a big businessman, so I'm sure he has a reason why he's not in Orlando. And generally speaking, he kind of leaves that thing to. Yeah, it's Jerry Buss. Like, he's very much involved with the team, but he also. He tries to leave things up to Mitch Kupchak and all those other guys. He's always kind of done that. He leaves things up to Phil.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've always kind of realized that about Jerry Buss. He's not one of those owners. Like, he's a great owner because he's more than willing to money. He's more than willing to go over the, you know, luxury tax and the whole smash. But he's also not. He's not going to force the GM's hand and make them do something they don't want to do, and force the coaches to coach guys they don't want to coach.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But here's the next question: why didn't they give it to Jeannie Buss then? Wouldn't that have made more sense?
Dave?
Why didn't they give it the Jeannie Buss then?
I don't know. That's really strange. I mean, usually she's kind of the next guy, or the next chick, I should guess, to do it, you know? So, I mean, I think it's a legitimate question. I think really the better question to ask right now, though, is what happened next year? For both teams, actually.
Well,
for a lot of teams.
Yeah. It's a fair question. But I think you know my answer already. I said the whole thing's breaking up. I think Lamar Odom's going to move on.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But I mean, let's break a few things down.
Okay.
I think there's five really, really big questions for the Lakers.
What are you doing?
Hold on 1 second.
All right. Jake's backing up. What in the heck was that?
What was going on with that? Oh, okay, so we just got to wait for the next one? Fantastic. Yeah, I was just at a friend's house just hanging out. And I had to take the bus home, and I don't know where the fuck I am. Don't worry about it. All right, so five things that I would like to say probably are the most important things you got to answer if you're a Laker, if you're a Laker fan, a Laker person, whatever. And I'm going to actually put this in order. Number one, Odom. That's the big question mark. What's Odom going to do? Are they going to re-sign Odom? Is he going to go find a big contract somewhere? He's, to me, the most important part of the puzzle. He's not there. They're going to have a tough time replacing him and becoming another championship team. And repeat, I guess you could say. It's tough to do these things 3 years in a row, so it's not likely that they'll be able to retain Odom and stay at the same caliber team that they are. With that said, I highly doubt that they re-sign Odom. And I think you could probably agree with that. Number two, Ariza. I think he's the next kind of more important question to ask. Like, what's Ariza going to do? What is he going to be? Are they going to re-sign Ariza? I say they probably don't. I don't think they're going to be able to re-sign Ariza. I think they do re-sign Ariza. I think they'll be able to re-sign Ariza. And that'll be their big major acquisition their big major re-signing of the offseason. Number three and four, I think, are tied, but they're not as big of a question mark. Can Bynum stay healthy an entire season and throughout the playoffs? I guess 3B or whatever you want to call it, or four, tied for three, would be, do they figure out the point guard position, basically? Is it going to be Shannon Brown? Is it going to be Fish? Is it going to be Farmer? Is it going to become a combination of three? Are they going to just, you know, cut somebody and find somebody else? You follow me? They got a big question mark at the point guard position. They cannot continue doing what they're... What'll happen to Fish? Is he going to be able to play at the level that he's playing at? We saw him, I mean, regardless of how he bounced back in the finals, he hasn't been great throughout the playoffs. Is Shannon Brown ready to kind of take over a position like that? He does fit the triangle offense, though. Farmar took a step back this year. And I think number five, which is the least important one because I think he will be back, is will Phil Jackson be back next season? And if he is, it's probably his last year. Dave?
That's an interesting idea. I think Phil Jackson could just as well retire and be really happy with himself.
I think that's possible, too. That's why I bring it up as a number five issue. I think if all five of those things happen, they have a great chance of if all those things happen for them in a positive way, they have a great chance of making it back to the finals next year.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But I don't think all five of them will.
No, and, well, here's what I think will happen. Okay, I do think they're going to let Odom go, and I think they should. I think it's too much money to pay for him, and Odom will be fine elsewhere, and there'll be no hard feelings. I think it all ends pretty well.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that Keeper...
I mean, he deserves it.
Yeah, yeah, no question. Now, number two, I think they'll keep Ariza, like you mentioned. They'll just sign him for, like, some $5 million a year, no biggie. And then the other ones, it's not really that important. Even if Phil Jackson leaves, they'll be fine. They could get, like, somebody else to coach the team.
They'll probably be Kurt Rambis or Brian Shaw.
Well, that'd be funny if it's Kurt Rambis. Rambis gave it a shot about 10 years ago, and he failed miserably. We'll see.
I think it'll be Rambis, though, honestly.
Yeah, I think he'd do just fine with this team. I mean, the reason that Rambis failed back in the day was because they had a lot of personalities that didn't really mesh with each other, and they had Rodman, so it didn't really work very well. And so it's not necessarily his fault, you know? Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. Okay, so having said that,
Dave,
you look at... Wait, let me
Dave,
hear...
I'm losing you.
Hey, I'm right here. You know what? I think Jake's in the middle of a tunnel. And we lost Jake. Wow. I think the problem is he was in a tunnel. Gets in a lot of tunnels. But I think we heard Jake's take on this. It's pretty obvious what I think could happen, should happen with LA going forward. To me, it's irrelevant. I think no matter what happens, whether it's Rambis or whoever it is that's coaching the team, doesn't matter. I think Phil Jackson probably ends it now. Like I said, I think it all is breaking up this year, like the Beatles. Everybody's going to split apart. Odom will leave. Kobe could conceivably leave. I've heard over ESPN radio that Bryant's contract has an opt-out clause that he can implement over this offseason. So he could opt out. But even if he does, the Lakers find a way to keep him somehow. We'll see what happens. So with Ariza back and Odom gone, it's going to be a lesser team, no question. It could be a better defensive team, but you're going to miss Odom's talent. Well, no doubt about it. But the thing is, you know, Odom's as inconsistent as they come. We shall see. But again, like I said, no ill will toward, on either side, I think, if they split. Part one. Part two now is sort of like the Lakers' hangover from the championship season, all the work they put into it. They've now been to back-to-back finals. And the number of games you play going into both of those series really will wear on any team over the course of the season that follows. They're going to be a tired bunch next year. And I think that that's going to play into them probably coming out and finishing a little worse than they did last season. They won't hit 60 wins. They may not even hit 50 wins. Thirdly, I do think that Kobe is going to finally get the surgery on his finger. He had that weird tendon in his fingers, it's been kind of torn up. I think they finally get that thing fixed. All right, so now with all that set, the Lakers are probably going to be, I don't know, maybe a third or fourth seed next year if they stand pat. We don't know what will happen in the offseason, but assuming some of the things we outlined happen, I think the Lake Show ends up being, you know, not as great as they were last season. And you can't expect it. Yeah, that's just not how it works in the NBA. I mean, people get older. Other players regress. Anything could happen. And other teams will get better. So, you know, I think this is the time to enjoy the present. The future is not important right now. And so whatever happens, happens. And so right now, this is it. I mean, we've got the parade. Everything is really rolling our way for the LA Lakers franchise. It's awesome. It's awesome. Well, that's it for the show today. We hope you do very well out there. Have a great night, all. The Lakers are your 2009 champions. It's a beautiful thing. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave for Dave in the City. We'll see you next time.